Sharp said. But you reckon I can't. But you will be very happy with your purchases, Nana Rao said. For Sharp had just become the possessor of a hanging bed, two blankets, a teak travelling chest, a lantern and a box of candles, a hog's head of arrack, a wooden bucket, a box of soap, another of tobacco, and a brass and elmwood filtering machine, which he had been assured would render water from the filthiest barrels stored in the bottommost part of a ship's hold into the sweetest and most palatable liquid. Nana Rao had demonstrated the filtering machine, which he claimed had been brought out from London as part of the baggage of a director of the East India Company, who had insisted on only the finest equipment.
You put the water here, see?
The merchant had poured a pint or so of turbid water into the brass upper chamber.
And then you allow the water to settle, Mr. Sharp. In 5 minutes, it will be as clear as glass. You observe?
He lifted the upper container to show water dripping from the packed muslin layers of the filter.
I have myself cleaned the filter, Mr. Sharp, and I will warrant the item's efficiency. It would be a miserable pity to die of mud blockage in the bowel because you would not buy this thing.
So Sharp had bought it. He had refused to purchase a chair, bookcase, sofa, or washstand, all pieces of furniture that had been used by passengers outward bound from London to Bombay. But he had paid for the filtering machine and all the other goods because otherwise his voyage home would be excruciatingly uncomfortable. Passengers on the great merchantman of the East India Company were expected to supply their own furniture.
Unless you would be liking to sleep on the deck, Sahib. Very hard, very hard,
Nana Rao had laughed. He was a plump and seemingly friendly man, with a large black moustache and a quick smile. His business was to purchase the furniture of incoming passengers, which he then sold to those folk who were going home.
You will leave the goods here, he told Sharp, and on the day of your embarkation, my cousin will deliver them to your ship.
Which ship is that?
The Calliope, Sharp said. Ah, the Calliope. Captain Cromwell. Alas, the Calliope is anchored in the roads, so the goods will need to be carried out by boat. But my cousin charges very little for such a service, Mr. Sharp, very little. And when you are happily arrived in London, you can sell the items for much profit.
Which might, or more probably might not, have been true, but was irrelevant because that same night, just 2 days before Sharp was to embark, Nana Rao's go-down was burnt to the ground, and all the goods, the beds, bookcases, lanterns, water filters, blankets, boxes, tables and chairs, the arrack, soap, tobacco, brandy and wine were supposedly consumed with the warehouse. In the morning there was nothing but ashes, smoke and a group of shrieking mourners who wailed that the kindly Nana Rao had died in the conflagration. Happily, another go-down, not 300 yards from Nana Rao's ruined business, was well supplied with all the necessities for the voyage, and that second warehouse did a fine trade as disgruntled passengers replaced their vanished goods at prices that were almost double those that Nana Rao had charged. Richard Sharp did not buy anything from the second warehouse. He had been in Bombay for 5 months, much of that time spent sweating and shivering in the castle hospital. But when the fever had passed, and while he was waiting for the annual convoy to arrive from Britain with the ship that would carry him home, he had explored the city, from the wealthy houses in the Malabar Hills to the pestilential alleys by the waterfront. He had found companionship in the alleyways, and it was one of those acquaintances.